This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Welcome to our lesson today. We trust that it's a help and a blessing to you. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can write to me from the website. You can re-listen to the program on the website. You can give me prayer requests. If you want to have that information, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and website address down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to pick up the story at Luke chapter 1 and verse 24. Now I think this morning I'm just going to read the passage having to do with the miraculous conception of the Lord before I make any comments on it. Luke 1 and verse 24 says, "Now after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Many in Israel hoped to give birth to the Messiah. Mary was the favored one. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He would be a king. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, as we look at this passage, we would remember that Elizabeth was barren. She was elderly, and this was a reproach to the women in Israel. Bearing a son was a high honor. Being a mother was a high honor. And, of course, it seemed important for them to perpetuate the family name and to perpetuate people who could take over the family inheritance in a physical way, because each tribe was allotted a certain amount of land in the Old Testament, and that land needed to stay within the tribe and was handed down through the generations to the people that were born, particularly through, there was a few exceptions, but generally to the men who were born in the lineage of that family line. But this woman not only had her reproach taken away because she was going to give birth, but her reproach was taken away so that she could have the honor of being the mother of John the Baptist. And so she went from a situation where, in a sense, she was reproached to a situation where she was being honored, but not just honored with a child, honored with the child that would be the herald of the coming king that we read about then in the rest of the passage. Now when we look at Mary, it's interesting that she had been chosen to be the vessel through which the Lord would be born. There is no doubt that there is a choice for service in the Bible. It's a choice that God makes. It's a choice that others might question. For example, there was a choice made that there would be 12 men who would follow the Lord and be called his 12 disciples. One of them was a son of perdition, Judas. The Lord made that choice. While we see that choice being made in the Bible, a choice for service, I never see a choice made in the Bible for salvation. That is, where God makes a choice and only chooses some people to be saved. But he does choose particular people to do particular things. And he even tells us, for example, that each one has his own special gift. And so, once we are saved, there is a purpose for our salvation, and that purpose is something that God likely has foreordained, if I understand it correctly. He did not foreordain our salvation, but knowing that we would be saved, he did foreordain our service, and Mary was chosen for service. And again, I want to emphasize that while we don't read of John the Baptist's conversion, yet we have to take the Bible in its context, and we have to recognize that everyone who served the Lord after Adam sinned, who is a descendant of Adam, has the nature of sin about them, including John the Baptist, and every one of those people need to be saved or redeemed or bought back from the slave market of sin. So I firmly believe that there was a point in John the Baptist's life where he was reached and saved, even though from the beginning, knowing his heart, God controlled the events of his life so he could be chosen for this particular service. Those events were controlled so that he could, by God, so that he could do this particular important task of being a herald of the Lord. Now, the same thing is true of Mary. There is no doubt in my mind that Mary was a sinner like the rest of us. There's no doubt in my mind that Mary had to be saved like the rest of us. And while the Lord was born of a father who had not sinned, because God was his father and she was conceived of the Holy Spirit, yet Mary herself had the nature of Adam about her, and she needed to be saved. But because the Lord had his lineage harking back to God the Father, he was very God from the very beginning, God made known in the flesh. And so the only person that's ever been born in this world who didn't need to turn away from their sin, need to acknowledge that they were sinners and needed a Savior, is the Lord himself. And so if you're listening to my voice today, don't use John the Baptist or Mary as an excuse for not being saved. Don't assume that you could be saved because of where you were born and how you were born and the home you were born into. That just doesn't work that way. These people, they were just like us, sinners in need of a Savior. Mary was going to give birth to the Savior who would then die for her sins. And so, as we look at Mary, it's interesting that she was a virgin. Now, there are those who question this because they want to question the whole miraculous aspect of the conception of the Lord Jesus. But she was a virgin. In the Old Testament, there's a reference to the fact that a virgin would conceive in Isaiah, and some would like to make that a maid would conceive. Well, certainly she was a maid that would conceive, but we know she was a virgin because when she's told she's going to give birth to the Lord, she says in verse 34, "How can this be since I know not a man?" She had never been with a man in an intimate way, though she was betrothed or engaged to Joseph. So the Bible is clear that this girl had never in any way violated her purity, and she was in fact a virgin, and she bore the Lord Jesus as a virgin. Unfortunately, some people will try to present you with the truth that she always was a virgin, even after the Lord was born, but unfortunately, she had natural children, and the Bible is clear about that. James, the Lord's brother, is one of her children who wrote the epistle of James, and so we know that she had other children, so she didn't remain a virgin the rest of her life, but she was a virgin when the Lord was conceived, and we need to be clear about that. The Lord was not conceived in sin like we are. And so when she realized that she was going to be the one who had found favor to have this child, and we read here that many women really wanted this privilege, Many women in Israel, in verse 27, hoped to give birth to the Messiah. There were many who prayed about this, but Mary had that special privilege of being the one who would give birth to the Messiah. And as a result of that, while we venerate her, we don't pray to her, we don't worship her, we worship the Lord that she gave birth to. And as a result of that, she knew sorrow that other women never knew, because this special child, we'll read in the next chapter or two, is going to cause her pain. Simeon, who goes into the temple and sees the Lord and says, "Now let my servant depart in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation," he says, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." And so Mary was going to understand sorrow because this child was going to die on a cross for our sins. And that's why he was named Jesus. The name Jesus is from the Old Testament name Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And in Matthew, it says that he would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So not only is he Jesus as Jehovah, but remember that he's also going to be a king. And so we read in verse 35 that he's going to be called the Son of God. But he's also, because he's born of Mary, the Son of Man. He's God. We read later in the epistles, God made known in the flesh. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when Mary hears this, and when Elizabeth when she finds out that Elizabeth has conceived as well, when she's told that, she's told nothing is impossible with God. And that's true. Nothing is impossible with God. But remember, this is being said with regard to promises that seem like they're impossible to have fulfilled. And so when we look at that, it's true that nothing is impossible with God, but God hasn't promised us everything. For example, he's not promised us immortality on this earth. We're going to die apart from the Lord's return. While it would be possible for God to keep that from happening, if that's not part of his plan, it doesn't mean he will keep it from happening. With God, nothing is impossible, but thank God it's possible for us today to enter into these promises that God has made us, that if we believe on this person, this one who died for our sins, will be saved. And it's not impossible for us to be saved that way. And everyone listening to me can be saved that way. Now, it's interesting that Mary was submissive, even though this would make her look immoral, wouldn't it? It would make her look like she had had intimate relationship with a man outside of her relationship with Joseph. But she still submitted, and there's sometimes when we come to know the Lord, there's people who criticize us, but don't let that stop you from being who you ought to be, trusting in the Lord, and then being a vessel that he can use in his service. Now, we just trust that you believed on this one who was called Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today and those who have listened. We thank thee for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Bless all who are listening today, Lord. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.